All right, so we are in part three of our Go series. And so far, we've talked about going and making disciples, going and dying to yourself. And today, we're going to be talking about go and multiply. And if you have your Bible, you can go to Matthew 28. We're going to cover verses 18 through 20 today. And I'm hoping that with this, we see how a disciple of Jesus is supposed to replicate themselves. This isn't something that is to stay to us. This isn't a gift that was given just to us. It is a gift that was given to us so that we could share it with the world, make disciples of Jesus Christ in order for this movement, the gospel, to replicate and continue on beyond us. And before we get into the word, we'll go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your gospel. Father, I pray that you will open up the ears, the hearts, and the minds of the listener today. That if there is anywhere that needs to die off, that it will die off. That if conviction needs to happen, that you penetrate the heart of the listener so that they can fix whatever area that you need them to fix in order to become a disciple who makes disciples. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, so in Matthew 28, verse 18, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. It says, Jesus came near to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you." You see, Jesus did not come to establish some kind of cozy little club. He didn't come to establish this club of believers. He came with a mission. Like when Jesus came to this earth, he didn't just say, "Yeah, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to hang out with who I want to hang out with. I'm going to do whatever I wanted to do." Now, Jesus came with a mission, and his mission was to die for the sins of the world and to make disciples to continue the gospel on beyond him. And when he came to a mission, it wasn't just meant to stay with the 12. Yeah, the gospel was not meant to stay with the 12 disciples. It was not meant to stay with the early church. And it's not meant to stay within the four walls of the current church. The mission was and still is multiplication. Multiply yourself, multiply churches, multiply the gospel so that it can reach whoever. And you have to ask yourself today, are you multiplying? Are you making disciples? Are we planting churches? Or are we just in a comfortable faith bubble all alone? And by all alone, that could be all alone by yourself or all alone in your local church. This brings us to the first point. Point one, the Jesus mission. Now, the Great Commission is a command to multiply. I know I've said it before. You've probably heard other pastors or teachers say it. The Great Commission is not a suggestion. It's not if you feel like doing it, will you please do this? The Great Commission is a command. And if we love him, we obey his commands. So this command to multiply, Jesus' last words on earth weren't to build clubs. It wasn't, "Hey, go and build programs," or "Go and do all these things. Don't go and be control freaks." He said, "I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to make authentic disciples." His words are clear, okay? Go make disciples. And it is for you. It's not for the pastor, it's not for the teacher or the evangelist or the deacon or the elder. If you are alive and you are breathing, the call to make disciples is for every believer, every believer under the sound of my voice and beyond. If you have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, this is your command. Go make disciples. Because if we are not making disciples, the gospel message doesn't go anywhere. You may think, well, that there's thousands and thousands of churches. That's true. But are they preaching the gospel? You have a lot of churches that are wrapped up in legalism. They're wrapped up in ritual. They're wrapped up in tradition. They're wrapped up in all these things that are not the gospel. They will preach the law rather than grace. They will preach legalism over the sovereignty of God. They will try to put people in bubbles. They will try to put people under their thumbs. They will try to be controlling and manipulative rather than preaching the gospel, rather than showing grace, rather than showing the love of Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, when we gather into churches, what church am I really a part of? Am I a part of a church that is glorifying God and honoring God and preaching the gospel and preaching grace? Or am I just a part of a cult? Or am I a part of a religious institution? We have to make sure that where we decide that we are going to join up in fellowship with the body, that we're in the right body. This kind of makes it to the second point. Disciples make disciples. Okay? A disciple cannot stop. This is an ongoing process. And you might be saying, well, I've discipled somebody before. I've done it once. Okay, that's one. Do another one. But I don't want to do another one. Well, why? Well, the first one, it was taxing. It was tiring. And there was a lot that I had to pour out. And that's the point. A disciple of Jesus is going to pour themselves out into someone else so that they can get filled, so that they can pour themselves out into someone else. It's an ongoing cycle. It's not that I reached this one person, I trained them up, and I did this, I did what I was supposed to do, now I'm done, now I retire. There's no retirement plan in the kingdom of God. We go until the race is done. At the Great Commission, we see this, and let me make this clear, and let me make this plain. Okay, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to make disciples. You have to. There's no excuse. There's no other way around it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are to make disciples. If you claim to follow Jesus, that is your goal. There is no version of Christianity that calls us to the sidelines and just watch other people do the mission. No true version of Christianity will call you to do nothing. Authentic Christianity will call you to die to yourself. Authentic Christianity will call you to make disciples of everybody. True Christianity will call you to forgive those who are unforgivable, to love those who are unlovable. True, authentic Christianity will make you get out of your comfort zone, and it will not call you just to sit and idle and do nothing. There is no version of it. And I question the salvation of a passive Christian who just sits back and lets nothing happen with their life or with their calling. I question the salvation of the Christian who refuses to get involved, who refuses to make disciples, who refuses to multiply, who refuses to die to their self. I question it. Because here's the reality of it. In the West, in Western Christianity, in America, we have this Christian versus disciple. I'm not trying to raise up Christians. You looking at me weird? Let me explain. I'm not raising up Christians, because when you hear the term Christian today, it is not what the original term means. Christianity today has become so consumeristic driven that I'm going to shop around until I find the right church, until I find the right programs, until I find the right kids programs. We are training and we are raising up consumers, because all we are doing is showing flashy lights and giving them all these things. And if they're not finding what they want, they shop around and they go to another one. We are treating the body of Christ like it is a consumer to be fed rather than a disciple to be nurtured. Making disciples is messy. Discipleship, however, is not raising up a consumer. Discipleship is teaching people that there is a reality to Christianity. Yes, you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Yes, there is actual work to be done in the faith. It's not just like I got saved and now I don't have to go to hell anymore. There is a lot that has to happen, and that comes to happen when you decide that you are going to fully die to yourself and you're going to live for Christ. It gets messy. It gets hard. It gets irritating. I mean, Jesus had to deal with Peter. You might have your Peter. You might have your Judas. But if you come here If you come to this church, we're not raising you up. We're not training you. We're not equipping you to be so consumeristic that if something doesn't go your way, you go shop for the next church. If you come here, you're going to get taught and you're going to get equipped to die to yourself, to humble yourself and come before God, and to be an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ who multiplies their self to make more disciples. We don't need consumers. We don't need passive Christians. We need warriors who are going to get into this fight, and they're going to stand on biblical principle. They're going to stand on biblical truth. They are not going to conform to the pattern of the world, but they're going to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, that we are going to be a church that is known for their prayer, that is known for their discipleship, and that is known for their outreach, who is willing to actually go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. That when revival is mentioned, that when prayer is mentioned, that when discipleship is mentioned, they know where it came from. That it came from God. That it came from Jesus Christ Himself. Because there was a group of people, a group of believers who were willing and humble enough to die to their self and put their self under subjection to Him. Who were willing to pray when no one else would pray. Who would pray longer than anybody else would want to pray. And I don't say this as a boasting thing. I don't say this as like, oh, look how much we pray. Look how much we fast. Look how much we do all of these things. It's not about that. It is about that I want it to be known that this church is, that's what we do. That we actually take this seriously. That we're not just sitting back and we're not just saying, well, worship was good. They got the three songs in. That's cool. The message, I mean, it was all right. He preached over 30 minutes. I'm going to be late for lunch now. Like, we're not looking for that type of church, and we're not looking for that type of Christians. We're looking for those Christians who are willing to dig down deep, no matter how long it takes, no matter how hard they got to fight, no matter how much they got to sacrifice or give up, that they are going to do what God has called them to do. Whether it takes them out of comfort or whether it puts them in the fire, no matter what it is, they're willing to give up everything and pick up their cross and follow after Jesus and do what He has commanded us to do. Why? Because, again, it is messy. Discipleship is messy, but that is the mission. Jude 1:23 says this, that we are to save others by snatching them out of the fire. If you're going to snatch someone out of the fire, that means you have to get uncomfortable. I don't know if you stood close to a fire before or not, but it's hot. It will send you. It will burn you. You have to be willing to sacrifice yourself sometimes, put someone ahead of yourself so that you can get them out of the fire and you can set them on a path that is going to set them straight to eternity. That's the kind of willingness that we have to have. Point three, in all of this, we have to remember that we're not doing it on our own. And point three is this, that you have authority. Some of you may have never heard that. Depending on where you went to church, you may have never heard that you actually have authority when it comes to your faith. That you have authority in your calling. You have authority in your gifting. Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. If it's been given to Him, He's going to give it to us. He has given us this authority to go and proclaim the gospel. To go and make disciples. He has given us that authority. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not qualified. I can't do this. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a small group leader. I'm nothing. I'm just an average guy. So were every one of the disciples. This goes back to the consumeristic Christianity thing. We have trained people to think that if you're not a professional Christian, a quote-unquote professional Christian, like a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, that you're not qualified to open your mouth on biblical things. But that is not the case, because you have authority through the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel, to walk out your calling, to walk out your gifting. You have authority to do that because Jesus gave His authority to you to walk out in it. So don't say, well, I'm not qualified, when He has qualified you. Yeah, but you don't know how I was. You don't know where I was. That really doesn't matter. The second you came to Jesus, all that, well, you don't know what I was. The was doesn't exist anymore because He has wiped it out. You are now a clean slate when it comes to God. Verse 18,
All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You do not go in yourself. Yes, he has given you the authority, but the authority is not yours. It is still his. He has just given you his authority to go and walk it out. And this is the key. The power to make disciples is not yours, it's his. Because you are going in his power and his authority. You are going in the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he is the power. But he is the power. He is the dunamis power. Like, he is the risen king. So we have to stop making excuses and walk in obedience. If there's one thing that I've figured out, one thing that I've learned, walking in obedience is a lot easier than walking in disobedience. It takes a lot less time to get there. It takes a lot less time to accomplish what you need to accomplish. You're going to fight God a lot less when you're walking in obedience. Jonah was walking in disobedience, right? God told Jonah, hey, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to preach. I need you to tell them to repent. Jonah's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go left when you called me to go right. He still ended up in Nineveh. Got swallowed by a fish on the way. Got thrown off a ship along the way. He went 3,000 miles out of his way just to go right to where God called him to go to begin with. So walking in disobedience causes more work, more effort, and more time and more energy than just obeying to begin with. Is obedience scary? Yes, it can be. Because God's going to call you to do some things. He's going to call you to talk to some people that you normally wouldn't want to talk to. He might call you to the other side of town where you normally don't show your face. He's going to make you speak up and be bold when you're usually kind of timid. Obedience is scary. But if God is calling you to it and you are obedient in it, His power and His authority is going to guide you through it. You just have to be willing to obey. Yeah, but wouldn't it be easier if I just paid somebody else to do it? Wouldn't it be easier if I sacrificed and did that? No, because obedience is better than sacrifice. He doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants to know that you trust Him enough with everything that if He called you to go stand on one foot in the middle of the road and pat your head and rub your stomach at the same time while quoting the Ten Commandments, that yeah, it might look foolish, but you would still be obedient enough to go out and do it anyway. That's what we have to be willing to do. That's the obedience that we have to be willing to have. Despite that it might be scary, despite that it might not make any sense, we still do it. This is the fourth point, the last point. Go and multiply. The title of the message is the title of the last point. Go and multiply. The world is waiting, and they are desperate for something. The world is waiting for the body of Christ to rise up and finally be who they claim to be. What's the body of Christ claim to be? We claim to be followers of Jesus. We claim to love our enemies and love our neighbors. We claim to show grace and mercy. We claim that we're compassionate. We claim that we do all these good works. We claim and we claim and we claim. But the problem with the claim is that the action has not been backed up for a long time. Well, you don't know me. You don't know this church. That church is doing this. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying that there is a minority, or maybe a majority. I don't know. One way or the other, somewhere along the way, the talk isn't getting backed up with action. We claim we love, we claim we forgive, we claim all this, and yet we turn right around and become the most angry, vengeful, hateful people that someone's ever met. You want to know how you can tell how someone really feels about Christians? The easiest way that you can tell how someone feels about Christians, go to a restaurant.
on a Sunday afternoon after church. And just people watch. Watch the Christians. Watch those who just came out of church. Do their actions back up what they're saying in the church building? Because for 90% of us, and I get it, times are tough right now, but for about 90% of them, when it comes to the tip, they already gave their 10% to God. I ain't paying another dime. The world is desperate. They're crying out, they're groaning, saying, God, will you please just be who you claim to be? I am looking for God. I am searching for God. I have questions about God. I have desires about God. I have questions about my calling. I have questions about my gifting. I have questions about spiritual warfare. But I need y'all to step it up so that I can actually get the answer to those things. They are desperate for hope. They are desperate for truth. And they are desperate for something real. But it's hard to show them the realness of God when we're too busy being fake Christians. But if you were an authentic disciple of Jesus, you are going to be able to give them the answers. You're going to be able to give them that hope. You're going to be able to give them that truth. And you're going to be able to help them find that missing thing that they have been searching for so long. But you have to be willing to be bold, authentic, and obedient to God. Here's the thing. You are a sent one. God has sent you into the world. He has sent you on the mission field. He has sent you to proclaim the gospel. You have the message of life. You have the most important message in the entire world, in your heart, in your mind. You know it. You know the gospel. And it's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know the gospel that you, that humans as a whole, humans are sinful creatures separated from God, but because of God's love for us, He sent His Son to die for us to pay the sin debt that we owed so that we can have access to Him, and now we have salvation. That is the gospel in a nutshell. You have the message, and if you didn't have the message, now you got it, so there's no excuse. You have the most important message that there is to life. The most important message to life is not how big of a house can I get, how nice of a car I can drive, how pretty my husband and my wife can be, how obedient, how mindful are my kids. That is not the meaning of life. The meaning of life is, do you know God? And the second part is probably the more important part. Does He know you? Because it's one thing to know Him, but does He know you? Why do you say it like that? Because Jesus says, many will say to Him on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name? Did we not cast out demons in Your name? Did we not do all this stuff in Your name? Yeah, you did. That's cool. Glad you did that. But I don't know who you are. So you went through the motions. You went through the religiosity. You went through the traditions. You did what you thought you should have done, but you never surrendered in obedience to Him. You never truly denied yourself and took up your cross and followed after Him. You repeated a prayer, but you didn't really mean it. You got scared into salvation because you didn't want to go to hell. But then the fear wore off and you went right back to where you were. Does He know you? Every one of us right now, watching, listening here right now, every one of us know who He is. But does He know who you are? Are you taking the gospel for granted? Are you taking it for granted? What do I mean by that? Did you take it as a get out of hell free card? Is it just a good message to you? See, here's the thing that I know. If you love something, or if you love somebody, you're going to tell other people about it. Right? You tell people about your husband. You tell people about your wives. You tell people about your kids. You even tell people how good you are at video games or how good you are at golf. You tell people all these great and wonderful things, how great your fantasy football league is. But have you ever told anybody about Jesus? Because if you love Him, you'll talk about Him. If you love Him,
you'll share it. Are you making disciples? And in closing here, this is the moment you need to ask yourself, am I playing Christian or am I authentic? Am I who I say I am? Or am I just empty, shallow words? Do I say one thing on Sunday and live a completely different life the rest of the week? Am I fulfilling the mission? Am I making disciples? Or am I just sitting in comfort, waiting to die or waiting on Him to come back? That's what you got to ask yourself. And if you are done playing, if you're done running scared, if you're done making excuses, then you need to make a public sacrifice right now of yourself. Why are we doing this? Why has it got to be public? Why do you got to publicly come to the altar? Why do you publicly got to proclaim this? Because accountability will get you. Because if you are publicly proclaiming this, if you are publicly doing this, there are eyes on you. And the eyes aren't there for judgment. The eyes aren't there to be like, well, last week you... It ain't for that. The eyes are for accountability. Because you know when you come down here, when you come to the altar, or when you go to prayer, people are looking at you. And they're going to hold you accountable. And here's the thing about accountability. You can't get mad when it happens. If you're gonna make a public declaration of this, that you're tired of running scared, that you're tired of making excuses, that you're tired of playing church, and you want to be authentic, and you want to actually get into this, and you want to proclaim the gospel, and you want to give your life completely and totally and surrender it all to Jesus Christ, if you are willing to make that public declaration, then you've got to be willing to be held accountable. Because if there is no accountability, you will fall. There has to be accountability. There has to be discipleship. And that is the thing about discipleship that we're going to learn later on in this series. That true discipleship requires accountability because it requires getting called out on your junk. So if you're making that decision to fully surrender and you're tired of playing games, I'm not big on repeat after me prayers. But I'm going to pray this. I'm going to pray it over you. And if you want to pray it, that's fine. But if you want to pray it, mean it and live up to it. So Father, we hear your call today. And we're ready to step into this mission that you've given us. Father, I pray that you will forgive us for our silence, for avoiding making disciples because of our comfort. And today we commit to going and making disciples, to sharing the gospel, and to teaching others to obey you, Lord. Father, we trust you. We trust your authority, your power, and we are stepping out in faith knowing that you are with us. Father, help us to multiply our faith, to see lives changed, and to live daily on mission. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, so you have a mission. And if you prayed that, your mission starts now. And it is not optional. You were called to multiply. The time is now and the harvest is out there and the harvest is ready. It's time for you to go and to obey. Now go out into the mission field and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.